This might sound very, very simple, but just turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 just for a sec. I have a brand new Bible, so it's not quite behaving itself yet. I haven't trained it to open exactly where it should. It doesn't have any notes or anything in yet. Verse 23. So now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. And I think we need to remember sometimes we are a three-part being. You know, I don't believe that when that scripture was written, inspired by the Holy Ghost, that was a mistake that he said spirit, soul, and body. And every one of those parts have a voice. My alarm went off very, very early this morning for me to get up and spend time with the Lord as I do, because I want to, before I minister, because I don't want to just minister out of something that, you know, pull out old faithful number 5, it works every time. And I really wanted to be able to share something, and I believe it was on the heart of the Lord. And so I'm, you know, when it was time to get up, my body had a voice, and it wasn't encouraging. It was like some of us, you know, we make that decision that, you know, we are going to watch what we eat, and we are going to exercise. Who knows, your body doesn't go, yes, praise the Lord, this is exactly what I want to do. It sometimes has a voice, and it is not encouraging. Do you know what? Our mind has a voice. You know, and our body needs to be fed. I was at the Freeman's last night. I was well fed. Praise the Lord. And that's a good thing. You know, if you don't feed your body is your earth suit. This thing here is our, we need this to stay on planet Earth. It's our earth suit. Without it, we have to be away from the earth. Our mind, our soul, which is our mind, our will, our intellect, that's fed too. Do you know what? You don't get it. You don't get a 2-year-old and go, okay, now I want you to go and set up my PA system or fix my computer. No, they are fed and they study and they learn, and you know, all of our, they've got children and you watch them develop and grow in their area of their soul. And who knows, that sometimes when the Lord speaks to you and God will give you a dream and your mind goes, are you kidding? I know 15 people that did that and they died. And I know that sometimes that we can be in the Lord for so long, and I thank God there's some great teaching and there's some great preaching and there's some great books out there. You go to the Christian bookshop these days and it's the 15 steps to this and the 20 steps to this and the 5 steps to this, and we spend all that. Sometimes our relationship with the Lord can become intellectual, where it was never meant to be intellectual, it was supposed to be experiential. We were meant to live and experience God. You know, my friends that I spent time with yesterday, that is so much better than me reading about them. There's only so much you can read from, and thank God this is the Word of God. Even when I read this book, I don't read it like a normal book. We've heard it, yes, this is the manual for life. But when I read this, the author comes with it. Could you imagine reading a book and you're reading a book and the author's there going, no, I didn't mean that. This is what I meant when I wrote this. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I remember once hearing a thing about this lecturer had written a book and he passed it to his students, and they didn't know that he was the author and they had to write a report on the book. And then they go, well, this is what he meant, because in this was a shadow of this, and this was mean to this, and he was meaning this when he said that. And he goes, well, that's interesting, because I wrote the book and I never meant any of that. You can imagine their shock. They were standing there doing a book report to the guy who actually wrote the book. And so we were never meant to live And you know, there are people that are great theologians, and God bless them, that have written commentaries, not just books, whole commentaries on the Bible. And I thank God for that, and there's a place for that. But we are meant to live out of our spirit. Our spirit is what connects us to God. You know, Proverbs 20 and verse 27 says, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart." Peter even called our spirit the hidden man of the heart. That's who you really are. And sometimes I just feel like we have to be careful that we don't slip into our intellectual understanding. You know, sometimes who knows when you first drive a car? Oh my goodness, you know, I've got two teenagers. One's just about to get his learner's license, and one's just about to go for her exam to drive on her own. And oh my gosh, the first time you put her in the car, you could hear the steering wheel shaking. She was just like, "Am I?" She's thinking, "There's so much to learn." But now you just get in and you don't even think about it. And some of us have become, I just feel that our Christianity can become a little like that. We can become creatures of habit. And we do things just because it's the way we've always done them. And not all of those things are bad things. But I think God wants us to bring us back to the original reason that we did it in the first place. And you know, I just really been praying that, because I've seen people just, it's like their breakthrough's that close, but it just seems that little bit out of reach. And you know what? We can have all the plans, we can have all the strategies, we can have all the great advice, but God has a plan that works every single time. 100%. And I was even reading the other day, I was reading about Dorcas was a believer that had died. And the great apostle Peter is coming into this situation and he's going, you know, the job looks obvious. She's dead. She needs to be raised up. Go do your job. Doesn't seem like brain surgery to me. Just. But it says that the apostle Peter, it went, you go read the scripture, it's in the book of Acts. And it says he kneels beside the bed and he prays. And it says, and then he looked to Dorcas and said, "Tabitha, arise." And she rose. You know what? The great apostle, he'd seen Jesus just go, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, our natural thinking, well, I guess that's what you do. But he was still so in touch with the Spirit of God, knowing that in that situation, in every situation, that God had a plan and God had a way that would see that thing come to pass. So that even you think, here is the man that basically preached the first sermon of the new covenant. He's the one who gets up and preaches. 3,000 people get saved on the day of Pentecost. You'd think he's the man. He's the go-to guy. He knows what to do. And even he's going, "What do we do, God?" And I've just lately been thinking, wanting to get back to that little place of, not that we throw away everything that we've learned, not that we don't trust in the wonderful things that God has taught us, but that simplicity of walking daily with Jesus. That God, you have a plan. And you know what I'm facing today before I even face it. And you have the way of victory before it even comes towards me. That doesn't seem very deep, but it can be a monumental shift in the outcome of our life. Do you know what? Just because you're facing difficulties or seems like that the things you've been believing for a long way off does not mean there's something wrong with you. Because if that was the case, the Apostle Paul was the biggest loser anyone ever met. Guy was always being imprisoned, stoned, beaten. Look, but he just had this incredible revelation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He just never gave up. He even had a revelation that if he died, God would turn that out for good. How good is that? It's like whether I live, whether I die. That simplicity, you walk with Jesus. I mean, when I was just as a new Christian, and many of us, we have that. But sometimes after just walking with for a while and seeing what happens in the world, that we can start to live out of our head and serve out of our heart. I just want to share a couple of really simple things, and then I just want to pray for you. Turn to Isaiah 54. The thing I love about this church, what makes me feel really home, is that you're a worshiping church. Do you know what? The sad thing, worship is not the warm-up act for the big show. You know, and it just blows my mind. You know, I said it in worship, and I'm not the only one that said it, and many people say it, but the truth is, there's going to come a time where every unsaved person that is going to be saved is saved. There's going to come a time where there's no more hungry people to feed. When we're in heaven, there's not going to be hungry people. I'm not belittling. If your ministry is to feed the hungry, praise God, we need you. If your job is to evangelize the lost, praise God, we need you. But there's one thing every one of us will be doing for the rest of eternity, and that's worshiping God. Every single one of us is called to be a worshiper. I believe it's an innate part of our wiring and who we are to connect with God. And if we aren't a worshiper, stuff just doesn't work the way it's supposed to work. We've all got these wonderful, fancy phones, and aren't they wonderful? But unless you've got some special case, they don't work well underwater. They're not designed for that. We were designed to worship God. Do you realize worship is the one time where God is receiving from us? You know, I could never think I'd be that arrogant that when I'm preaching, God's up there going with his notebook, hang on, I just want to take some notes on this, you know. Wow. I'm sure, though, he has heard a lot of stuff that he never intended. You know, that I wouldn't think that any preacher could be that arrogant that they think that God is going to learn something from your preaching. But the Bible says he receives of our worship. And the nature of God is when we worship, he can't help it. You give to God, he has to give to you. That's why he inhabits the praises of his people. If you're in a situation and you're going, God, I need you to turn up. It's very simple. In Isaiah 54, now remember, Isaiah 53 is basically the prophetic utterance of the new covenant, of the finished sacrifice of the Lamb, that of our place of righteousness in him, of us being no longer, you know, in the Old Testament, only the king and the priest and the prophet could be anointed. Now every believer is anointed in him. And only the high priest once a year could come into the holiest of holies, that now that we can come boldly into the throne room of God. Every single day, every minute, we can walk in an undeniable manifest presence of God. What an incredible thing. And here, and as we know, nothing happens unless his prophets proclaim it. So here Isaiah is proclaiming, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, which the word peace is shalom, our wholeness, our lacking nothing, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This incredible prophetic utterance of Jesus' fulfillment of the law at the cross. And what does he start Isaiah 54 with? Sing, O barren. And I see many of people and they're going, how do I, you know, what is in our spirit and what we see manifest in the natural aren't aligned. Because in your spirit is, you are meant to be blessed. You are blessed. The Bible says you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In our spirit is, by his stripes we are healed. In our spirit is that we are a king and a priest before our God. Yet sometimes in our natural world, we don't see that manifest. And I believe a key is here. People say, well, how do I make it happen? Sing! Sing, O barren! Is it saying sing a country and western song that, you know, where your truck breaks down, your wife leaves you and your dog dies? Which, you know, if you play backwards, your truck starts, your wife comes home, and your dog comes back to life. No, it's talking, he's just been explaining in Isaiah 53 the incredible finished work of the cross, and he's wanting us to sing as the voice of the redeemed. That we are a people to not sing, oh God, woe is me, and oh, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille, but Father, I thank you, and we sing these praises, so great is your faithfulness. We will not be shaken. I will worship you, the reason I live, and when we sing, he can't help it. He inhabits those praises. So some of us just, you know, praise is very easy when everything is going right. But I read these great psalms that David wrote, and half of them, someone was trying to kill him when he was singing them. To me, the power of true praise is when everything else looks the opposite. Yet we take our eyes off what we're seeing and we begin to praise God. You know what praise and worship really do? It takes our eyes off ourselves and puts them on God. And I tell you what, when you're going through something, that's where they exactly need to be. So this morning, if you're going through a tough time, if you're struggling to see a manifestation of a promise, sing! And I love the promise of God where it says more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. Sometimes we can look at people and think, if I only had that gift, if I only had that talent, I'd be okay if I had this ability. And God is saying, if you trust him and his promises, he can do more for you than that. You know, I've seen people with nothing be so blessed, you know, and other people with the greatest business acumen in the world lose their shirt. And that's not talking about, you know, God gifts people. And I'm not saying if you're a businessman, you might have an incredible business acumen. But I'm telling you right now, you need the Holy Ghost. You can use all, I tell you what, all the, a lot of the greatest financial minds in the world did not see the GFC coming. But I tell you what, the people that had the Holy Ghost, a lot of them inside of them were warned. I don't want you to get into debt. I want you to make your life less encumbered, because the Holy Ghost knew what was going to happen. And I've seen men and women who had no formal education but had this incredible revelation and had an ability to just praise God. And you know what? No matter what happens, I'm going to land on my feet. No matter what the world throws at me, I will worship my God. I'm just blessed in so many ways. No matter what you're facing today, sing. Because I believe it helps us to live out of our spirit. See, my spirit will not get discouraged. But when I cease to be a worshiper of God, when I cease to fill my life with the praises and the worship of Almighty God, I'm no longer living out of my spirit. And you know what? Your mind is very easily clicks back into the things of the world. It can be very easy. I've seen people that have had, I've seen it in my own life, incredible breakthroughs and seen God do incredible miracles in certain areas. And then, you know, we just get busy and we're not spending the time with the Lord. And I'm not talking law. I'm not talking that if you don't spend time with God, God's blessings will be removed from you. I'm just telling you that if you don't eat, you're going to get hungry and you're going to get weak. I don't spend time with the Lord to get blessed. I spend time with the Lord to keep myself reminded that I am blessed. I spend time in the presence of God so that my spirit, my soul, and my body fall into line and recognize you are bought with a price. You are anointed of God, and all your days you will serve the Lord and see his blessing in every part of your life. But when we cease to spend that time of worship and that time in his presence, all of a sudden our mind can go, oh, you know, things are looking a bit tight. Oh, things are looking a bit busy. Things are a bit hard. I think I'm a bit too tired to go to church. I think I'm too busy to spend time. it's a very short time sometimes before we can, those dreams can become a distant flicker. But when we worship it, just make a decision. You know what? I now, the more I spend time with the Lord, the more you want to spend time with the Lord. I remember back to my young, I was just thinking about it this morning. I went to this conference as a uni student. We're talking like I was so green in the things of God. And they did this day where they said, right, today we're fasting. I thought, yeah, that's a great way to bring your conference under budget. Just make sure no one eats today. But, you know, I don't know. So they said, we're fasting and you're spending time with the Lord. And so we just spent the whole time, they just sent us all off, individually spent time with the Lord. And we're talking like hours. It was like all day, just everybody just spending quiet time with the Lord. Now, at first, it was like, you know what it's like. Everyone didn't have smartphones then. Thank God for that. They would have had to confiscate everybody's smartphone. You know, so any of you that are candy crushing in church, you know, I got my eyes on you. Oh, look, the teenagers just hit their phone. You're looking up scripture. I know, it's okay. And at first it seemed, oh my goodness, it's like this is going to be the longest day of my life. I'm hungry. We haven't eaten. My mind's going, all right, I thought I'd done great. I've been praying for an hour. Now what do? And oh man, so my mind's going, come on, this is boring. My body's going, come on, I'm hungry. But oh, my spirit just starts to go, this is good. This is good. Do you know at the end of the day, and remember, these are all uni students. These aren't all ministers and seasoned people to the Lord. Most of us were the oldest would have been, you know, between 18, 19 years old, right? The end of the day, they said, right, about 9 o'clock that night, oh, we're going to break a fast. They gave us a little something to eat. They said, okay, God bless you. You got free time. Do whatever you want. Do you know the majority went off alone to spend more time with God? It was like the more we spent time in the presence of the Lord, it was like, God, this is so good. And all of a sudden, the Lord began to speak to people, and dreams and visions began to come into people's lives, and they began to get encouraged, and all of a sudden, that's all they wanted. That's all they wanted because the order was right: spirit, soul, body. That conference, that little time, changed my life forever. I just want to encourage you this morning. If you're barren in any area of your life, sing. Jesus. Take your eyes off yourself. Put them on Him. I just want to finish with another scripture, very well known. Isaiah 40. Again, this is such a well known. This is not a deep. This is more of just a brother in the Lord encouraging. You know, I thought it was wonderful. You know, I had to get up at 3:30 in the morning to catch my flight here. And my youngest son is in the Air Force Cadets, and he was getting up about the same time my wife was taking him to the dawn services. He had to do a number of dawn services as a cadet. And I saw him do an Anzac, he goes to a Christian school, and on Friday I went and saw him he had to do an Anzac parade, and he had to do the formal part of it, and the tending of the flags, and the flag that he was in charge of was the Kiwi flag, which really touched me. And because that spirit, there is a joining in the spirit of our nations. And I thought it was awesome that, you know, I put on Facebook as I was leaving, I said, I'm going to share the goodness of God with my Anzac brothers across the ditch. I've still got a heart that there's going to be an incredible revival in this nation. I believe it with every part of my being that there is going to be such a spiritual awakening in this country that is even going to, I believe, precede the move of God in Australia and is going to spread to the rest of the world. I believe it with all my heart. Isaiah 40 verse 28. Such a well-known scripture. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, it's like I was sharing this morning. Youthful vitality has nothing to do with natural years. It has to do with our connection with God and the dreams and the visions that He's implanted in our lives being real and alive. And when we spend time with Him, when we and I thank God that this is a worshiping church, but as we begin to daily just begin to praise Him, in the midst when it looks like you can't pay your bills, when it looks like your body is letting you down, when it looks like relationships aren't what they should be, when it looks like the ministry dream that God has implanted in your heart isn't coming to pass, that we praise Him and worship Him, that He is faithful and He is good and His mercy endures forever. His strength becomes our strength. His wisdom becomes our wisdom. His vitality inhabits every fiber of our being. I've seen old men in years just become young and vital because the vision of God is alive in their spirit. And this morning, I just wanted, if there's one thing you go away with, that God's dreams, He has not forgotten. And as we sing and as we worship and take our eyes off ourselves, off our disappointments, off even our shortcomings and weaknesses, and place them on Him, those dreams can become alive and as real as the day He spoke them into your heart. Remember that all of us who've had God speak to us, the vitality we felt. You know, I don't believe anybody on their deathbed wishes they were more selfish. I don't believe, because we're created in God's image. Even an unsaved person. You know, Bill Clinton, who, my goodness, you know, we don't even want to talk about some of the mistakes that man made. But it said in his last days of his presidency, he went into such a deep depression because he had such a sense of what was his legacy going to be like. And every one of us, yes, we've all got different dreams. We've got different calls. We've got different visions. We've got different anointings. That's what makes family so important, because every one of us has something different that they can bring to the table. But there's a fulfillment and a wholeness in us fulfilling that call that nothing else in life can bring. And I just want you this morning, if you are lacking in any area, sing. Can we stand to our feet? Just stand to our feet just for a moment. Can we put that instrumental on? I just, as an Aussie brother coming over to share with his Kiwi brothers, you know, I love the spirit of Anzac was, you know, my brother Paul was sharing a story last night, and how in the Anzac, these two, one was wounded, and it looked like he was going to die. And the only way he could even get a hope of seeing this guy have a chance of living was to basically go to an enemy place and get captured as a POW, so that his friend could get medical help. And his friend still died, and it was always a long shot. But the heart was, I'm going to be there for my brother. You know, I felt such a heart this morning for you as a family and as a nation, that God wants to reignite. He needs your dreams to come to pass. Have you ever thought that? We sometimes think God is doing us a favor, but He needs this to happen. Can we just look to the Lord? Let's just reach out to Him. The word I felt this morning was encouragement, and I just feel there's some people here, you just need some encouragement. If that's you, I just want you to quickly just come out. Can we just put that music on? Just quickly come out. It's not a sign of weakness. Every one of us has been through a time where we just need our brother or our sister to stand with them. And there's some people here that dream, it seems a long way off. God doesn't want that to be the case. If you want prayer, I just want you to come down the front now. Just reach out to the Lord. All the rest of us, I just believe the Lord's really going to touch some people. I'm not even going to ask you why. I'm believing the Holy Ghost is going to do that work. Just reach out to Him. Can we put that music on? Can we put that music on? Thank you, Lord. Let's just reach out towards these people. Father, I just thank you for your presence that's here, Lord. I thank you, Father, that these dreams and these visions that you have placed in these brothers and sisters' hearts are important to you. They're valuable. Do you know why the Bible says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints? It's not precious as in, oh, isn't that lovely? It costs him. It costs him. You are important to God. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. God, I just thank you that we are people of the Spirit of God. That, Father, I just thank you that you help us to walk with that ever-increasing awareness that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that we walk in the naturally in the supernatural manifestation of your presence. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Praise God. Isn't God awesome? Isn't he just wonderful?